Welcome, my friends, to Reflections Upon the Precious Book Divine. We hope that you have been having a wonderful day, and we have here as well preparing for the lesson for today. I want to read to you a story about a young man, actually not just read, but tell you a story about a young man who once studied the violin under a world-renowned master. When he first began, he studied hard. He did everything that he was supposed to do. He progressed, and when his first big recital came, the crowd cheered after every number. But the young performer seemed somewhat dissatisfied at all of the response from the crowd. Even after the final number, despite the applause, the musician seemed a little unhappy. Now, as he took his bows, he was watching an elderly man in the balcony. And finally, the elderly man smiled and nodded in approval. And immediately, the young man's disposition changed. His entire outlook began to be entirely different. Now he was beaming with joy. You see, he was not looking for the approval of the crowd, but he was looking for the approval of his master. And as well, you and I should be looking for the same. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 15, the Bible says, "Study," or "be diligent, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing," or handling correctly, "the word of truth," or the word of God. You see, as Christians, we should be living our life seeking our master's approval. And in reality, that's what every Tuesday on Reflections Upon the Precious Book Divine is all about. I welcome you this morning as I sit here with my cup of coffee and my Bible in my hand. I prepared for a wonderful conversation about God's Word, and I can think of nothing better than I would prefer to do today than to be able to talk to people about God's Word. And so we're glad that you've joined us, and you can call in. This is a live radio internet program, and you can call in. We have listeners from all over the world. And if you're listening this morning, at least from San Angelo, Texas, we do want you to understand that radio broadcast is brought to you by the good brethren at the Ninth and Main Church of Christ. We meet every Sunday morning at 9:30 for Bible study, 10:30 for worship, and again for worship at 5 p.m., and then 7 p.m. every Wednesday night, we assemble as the family of God to be able to study His Word even more. And so if you would be interested in joining us for those times, you can meet us at 901 North Main Street here in San Angelo, Texas, and we would consider you our honored guest. There are several things that we have been announcing, getting people prepared for. If you're listening from the Portage, Michigan area, we want you to know that we're coming your way in a old-fashioned tent meeting and a door-to-door campaign. We probably won't get everybody in the Portage and Kalamazoo area, but we certainly want you to understand that there is a tent meeting that is going to be set up, an old-fashioned gospel preaching on the blood of Jesus Christ and what that blood does for the efficiency and effectiveness of the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the entire theme all week long from Sunday to Friday is about His blood, the blood of the Lamb. And so come out and join us in Portage, Michigan, August the 17th through the 22nd for the tent meeting. And again, if you're there and you are a visitor, you are our honored guest. Also, I want to remind you that the first principle classes, the classes on on what we need to do to develop, getting acquainted with the Christian fundamentals is on OABS, that is the Online Academy of Biblical Studies. You can go and enroll there as a student at oabs.org. We started last Saturday. We will continue every Saturday for the next 18 weeks, 36 hours on first principles. Now, there are hundreds of classes that are listed there and items that you can utilize for your own personal Bible study. And so we hope that you'll certainly go there and look over those items as we do. But today we're talking about preparing for our Bible study, what it really means to make and prepare me mentally, spiritually, and even some physical elements are important in my preparation. But before we get there, I want to share with you Brother Leroy Brownlow's Today Is Mine, and it's a little devotional booklet that I have in my library that's very special to me. And Brother Brownlow just did some magnificent job at focusing our attention upon some very key principles. And the last few days, I have been even, I mean, I read this book quite often, and every day, this is August the 5th, and I want you to listen very carefully as to what Brother Brownlow has to say. So, reflecting upon the precious book divine through the eyes of Brother Brownlow in utilizing the whole man. This is an excellent little devotional. He says, living is not a question of whether man shall partially function. That's settled if he lives. But what about the full usage of his facilities? The intellect to search for deeper answers, the vision to see farther ahead, the heart to stick a little longer, the hands to try less, to tire less quickly, the feet to keep on climbing, the ears to hear sweeter melodies, the tongue to speak a kinder language, the language of love, and his spirit to enjoy a superior fellowship with God. All of this adds up to achievement, which is more than almost. It is. It is you. It is you utilize more fully. And then he quotes Charles Dudley Warner, who says, what small potatoes we all are compared to what we might be. And then Psalms 84 and verse number 7, the Bible says, they go from strength to strength. You know, I almost want to read that again. I've read it about four or five times already this morning. I just can't really get enough of utilizing the whole of man. There are many of us that when we look back over our tenure somewhere, our work in some capacity, we look back over it and we say to ourselves, what might have been? And Brother Brownlow has done a magnificent job of causing at least my mind to focus upon utilizing more of me in the Master's service. And so for that, we appreciate Brother Brownlow in his efforts. Now, I want us to focus our attention upon some items with regards to preparation. That's what we've been engaging in. We've talked about several different items. We've talked about the fact that our skill is imperative as a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. That's really where we stopped at last week, and we were going to pick up this week with this idea of skill. You and I are both carpenters, and God's Word is our set of tools. Now, if we hired a carpenter to come to our house for some work, and they showed up at our house without any tools, would you be concerned? Now, if you loaned them your tools, and they didn't know the difference between a hammer and a saw, a level, and a square, would you then be concerned? I guarantee you my wife has some antique stuff in her house, in our house, and she wouldn't let that man near any of those antique prized possessions that was handed down from her mother and father. She wouldn't let him near that. Number one, if he didn't bring his own tools, but especially if he didn't know the difference between a hammer and a saw. That man's not a carpenter. I don't care what he calls himself, you see. That man is not a carpenter. And there are a lot of people that refer to themselves as Bible students. They call themselves Christians, but they are neither, my friends. They are neither followers of Christ, nor are they Bible students. Paul himself, you remember, described himself in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 10, and we know it's true because it is recorded by inspiration. In 1 Corinthians 3, beginning in verse number 10, he described himself as a wise master builder. You see, this tool that we're talking about, the Word of God, we're talking about how to utilize the tool that God has given us to the best of our ability as a workman, or as Paul, as this apostle unto the Gentiles, he talks about himself as a wise master builder. You know, Paul, you talk about the use of that particular tool. Some people are better at utilizing those tools to gain out the richness of a particular material, whether or not it be wood or glass or metal or whatever it may be. They have the right tools, and they have used those tools. They have become experienced in the use of those tools. And when they get done utilizing that on that material, you and I sit back and we are in amazement at what they are able to do. And so that's what we are talking about with reference to the Word of God. So as opposed to being unskillful in the Word of truth, we need to be skillful in that Word. Remember that Paul wrote to the Hebrew brethren, and one of their many problems that was besetting them was the fact that they were unskilled. Notice what he says in Hebrews chapter 5, beginning in verse number 11. Now, these are individuals that could have, should have, and probably are members of the church for at least 30-some-odd years. And he says, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered. Paul, why are they hard to be uttered, seeing that you are dull of hearing? Now, why were they dull of hearing? For when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. Now, what happens to a person who by reason of time, that is, time frame, they should have grown more than they are, but they are in need of milk and they have not grown at all? He says, for everyone that useth milk is what? Unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. I have a brand new granddaughter, and I guarantee you that if my children, Josh and Danielle were to put a power tool in her hands, I'd slap them both on the back of the head. She's not skilled in that. She's a babe, and she hasn't learned the art of using power tools yet. Now, hopefully she'll grow into that, but that's something different here. But notice the ideal of individuals who are babes in Christ are unskillful in the word. But contrary to that, strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. That is, they are mature. They are grown up, even those who by reason of use, there's the experience, right? Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. So we don't want to be unskilled, But we want to be skilled in the art or in the science of hermeneutics, of interpretation, of exegesis. Those are words that we have already defined with regards to this material. And so this tool has written on every page, by the way, a manufacturer's warning label. And the label says that the use of this tool incorrectly can be dangerous to your eternal soul. This is not just about mishandling it now. It is about becoming skillful in our use of God's Word. That's really what we are talking about when we talk about preparing ourselves. Now, there are really three aspects that I want us to talk about this morning as time permits. Number one, I want us to talk about some mental preparation. Number two, I want us to talk about some spiritual preparation. And then number three, I want us to talk about some practical preparation. Those are really the three items that I want us to focus on at this particular time. And by the way, if you have any questions or comments that you would like to call in live to the program, just give me a holler at 405-428-2440. Give us a call at 405-428-2440, and it would be our privilege to take your call. I do want to remind you with that coming up is Open Mic Friday, where you determine the topics of the day by your phone calls. And so if you'll prepare yourself for that day as well. But let's talk about a little bit of these things, of handling correctly the Word of God. And that word handling, by the way, is an important word and is one that simply means to cut it in a straight line. Like a road builder, you've laid out the map of where the road is supposed to go, and the guy that's actually doing the work needs to follow the pattern. A farmer, a stonemason, a seamstress, they're following patterns, you see. The same is true with regards to the Word of God. If we're going to handle it, it means that we are going to cut it in a straight line. We're going to cut it the way that the pattern is. In other words, that's why we talk about exegesis instead of eisegesis. Exegesis is that exit, right? You're going out, exus. In is eisegesis is into, in, not out. And so we want to draw out of the Word of God what is actually there. The Exodus, they went out of Egypt. And so that's what we're talking about, drawing out of the Word of God what is actually there and only drawing what God has put in there. My think-sos will not get you very far on the road to eternity, but God's think-sos certainly will. And by the way, God doesn't really have think-sos. He has so-sos. Not so-sos. He has, I don't even know what you'd call it with reference to a so. He has commandments. That's what he has. And so the ideal here is that we're going to do it the way God wants it done. We're going to draw out of the Bible in our own personal Bible study actually what is there. And so remember, we've talked about this. If we can rightly divide the word of truth, then we can wrongly divide it, right? And so, or that would be correct, we can wrongly divide it. Our preparation will have much to do upon how we handle the Word of God. And so let's look at some of these areas in which we can handle the Word of God. We need mental preparation in this area. You know, the Bible in this conversation is like any other book from this vantage point as far as mental preparation. That is, there are some things that are absolutely needed if we are going to mentally prepare ourselves. Number one, we must prepare ourselves for some effort. We must learn to study. You see, as a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Underline that word workman, you see, a workman who is worthy of his paycheck at the end of the week is a man who has put some labor into his work. There is much in the Bible that can be understood by a child. They can be understood just by a cursory reading of the Bible. But there is much in the Bible that requires effort. It requires a great deal. And that's what we talked about with Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 through 14, right? It's going to take a little bit of effort to get it out. And so that's what 2 Timothy chapter 2, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 15 and 16, the Bible says, he says, "An account that the long-suffering of God of the Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, who according to the wisdom given unto him hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of things in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction." Now, there are some things in the study of God's Word that are going to be harder for me to grasp, and so that means that I've got to put a little extra hard work in that. I got to roll up my sleeves. I've got to put on my heavy duty gloves because I'm about to get. I got to put on my work clothes because I'm about to get sweaty in studying of God's Word. Right? That's really what these lessons are all about. Listen, there is no possible way that you can have a 60-second easy lesson to hermeneutics. It's not there. I don't care what people may advertise. You can't have a 5-minute university on how to study the Bible. You can't have it. There are some principles of interpretation that are going to be deeper than others. So we're going to be talking about some of these, hopefully, in such a way that over the radio we can get our point across and that you can become a better student of God's Word. It takes a lot of effort. In fact, in Acts chapter 17, verses 11 and 12, we find that there are individuals that were there that are called noble-minded. They are more noble-minded than the Thessalonians because it says they received the word with great readiness of mind. Now, I'll get back to that in just a minute, but I want you to notice here, not only did they receive the word with all readiness of mind, but they searched. They searched the scriptures daily whether these things are so. Therefore, many of them believed, also of the honorable women which were Greeks, and of men not a few. Why did they believe? Because they were able to do the research of God's Word. They were unwilling to just receive what Paul said. They wanted to know for sure. So you have to be prepared to put a little effort into your study of God's Word. And by the way, if you understand the why of hermeneutics, the why of interpretation, motivation will not be an issue here. And we dealt with this in the very first lesson that we talked about, and we gave you several reasons. I might just remind you of a couple of them. Why we're engaged in this study to begin with is because it is a direct command that we be diligent to make ourselves approved, to show ourselves approved unto God as a workman, you see. It is a direct command that we utilize and handle the scriptures properly. Number two, because of the nature of the restoration plea itself. Listen, either we believe what we proclaim or we do not. Do we speak where the Bible speaks? Are we silent where the Bible is silent? Do we call things, do we call Bible things by Bible names? And do we do Bible things in Bible ways? Now listen, the only way that we can process that is for us to actually study the Bible. You cannot speak where the Bible speaks unless you know what the Bible speaks. You cannot be silent where the Bible is silent unless you know where the Bible is silent. You cannot call Bible things by Bible names unless you know what the Bible calls those things. And you cannot do Bible things in Bible ways unless you know the way the Bible says to do them, right? So it's not just a direct command here, but I believe what I preach and I and what I proclaim. And this restoration plea of going back to the Bible is the only way for us to do it. Here's a question that is in the chat window. Do we think that we can get this past our Father in heaven, that is our laziness? I mean, that's an excellent question. There is absolutely no way. If he knows us inside out, then he knows whether or not we are putting the effort into it. Number three, because of the grave or the seriousness of the responsibility that we have in teaching and preaching God's Word. I cannot tell you how many times in God's Word is found. That would be a study in and of itself and a good one. But how many times, how many warnings are given to those who teach and to those who preach that they do it correctly or else? It is serious responsibility. In fact, James chapter 3 and verse number 1 says it is so serious that a man ought to consider not even doing it if he's going to mishandle it. Notice what he says, chapter 3 and verse number 1. He says, "My brethren, be not many masters," the King James says, "teachers, knowing that we," that is the teachers, the masters, "shall receive the greater condemnation." So we better make sure that we handle the Word of God correctly. Number four, because of the growing number of those who ignore, abuse, and misuse the Word of God. There are many out there who want to twist and wrestle with the Scripture to come up to their own conclusions, and we need to do our dead level best to make sure that we meet them with a "Thus saith the Lord." We need to earnestly contend for the faith. You realize that Jude found himself in such a predicament as this? To me, Jude is the perfect example of what we're talking about on the growing number of those who ignore and abuse and misuse the Word of God. So look with me at Jude, beginning at verse number 3. Jude, verse number 3. He says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation." Now notice what he's saying there. "It was important that you understand that I wanted to write unto you about this precious, beautiful salvation that was common to all men. But," he says, "it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." Well, why, Jude? What necessitated this change of the entire purpose of your letter? He says, "For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men." What were they doing that made them such ungodly men, Jude? Well, they were turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, and they were denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you want to read the rest, you can see what God by inspiration really thinks of those kind of people. But see, we have a gravity, a seriousness about dealing with individuals who would misuse God's Word. And then number five, and I'll leave with this one. When we talk about the Bible, my friends, listen, I know that it is a book that deals with commandments and examples. There's necessary inference, and I realize that there is a science of interpretation here. But my friends, this at its heart is a communication of the one that I love, and it is from the one that loves me. And that is beyond everything else. That is my motivation at studying God's Word. I want to know more about the one who loved me so much that he would sacrifice his only begotten Son for me. That his death, that his cruel death, would actually be effective in saving me from a cruel, eternal death. And so, if we understand the why of interpretation, then we'll have no problem in motivating us to be prepared for a effort, a strenuous, hard work. Listen, if you're not sweating mentally, spiritually, if you're not sweating by the time you're done in your Bible study, then you've really just done a baby's job at getting the job done, and you should go back and do a little bit more before you do anything else. Number two, now, first of all, this is the mental preparation, right? So number one, you want to be prepared to put some hard work into it. Number two, you need to get your mind as sharp as possible. And I guess that's one of the reasons why I loved what Brother Brownlow said in his book, Today Is Mine. And I love that, you know, it's not just about living. It's not just about partially functioning. That's settled just by life itself. But the full use of my facilities, of my faculties, the full use of my intellect and my brain, to be able to have, I love this, the intellect to search deeper for the answers, the vision to see further ahead, the heart to stick a little longer, the hands to try to tire less quickly, the feet to keep on climbing, the ears to hear a sweeter melodies, the tongue to speak a kinder language of love, and his spirit to enjoy a superior fellowship. You see, it's not just about utilizing what God has given me. It is about fully utilizing. That's me, you see. That's who I am. That determines the whole of me. And so I have to get the mind as sharp as possible. And hermeneutics is not just a science, although it is a science, but it's even more than that. It's also an art. It takes skill. It takes experience. You're going to read. You're going to study. You're going to ask questions of the text. You're going to search for the answer to that text in the context, and you're going to do that over and over again. It's like taking that log. Programs about individuals who can take these big redwoods out of the Northern California forest, those that have dropped down, and they take those and even just a piece of wood. I saw a guy take a half a tree. It had been tumbled over. It about 7-8 feet tall, and it was. Looks like it just needs to be cut down. And he saw something in that tree that I could never see because of his experience, his skill levels. He saw a deer jumping and running in the forest, and he took his chainsaw out and cut here and cut there and manipulated this and manipulated that. And all of a sudden, that tree that was I would have cut down, he made into a beautiful sculpture of art. Now, he did that because of his skill level. You know, when some people come to the Bible, they open up the Bible and they look at the Bible and they see the exact words that are written, but they don't see anything else. And they set it aside and they put it down. And then there are other people who have come because of their skill level, because of their love and anticipation for what is there. And they see what God has actually put into the text for them to see. So hermeneutics is not just a science, it is an art, it is a skill. And most any study requires thought, it requires the meditation, comprehension, reasoning. It's a good background for this work. So you should get a lot of schooling, even if, I don't mean going to school necessarily, reading books important books that deal with logic, that deal with sound reasoning, that deal with the thought and the thinking process. We should get as much education in those areas as we possibly can. But number three, under the mental preparation, we should get materials for the mind to go to work on, right? There are rules, and then there are tools. And what we are talking about here are the tools, getting the tools ready for the rules. And these can be of great help, or they can be very damaging. So you have to make sure that you have the right tools in mind. Now, I'm going to suggest that, number one, you have a solid translation of the Bible. I recommend in all of my Bible classes, and when people ask me, just get you a good old King James Bible. An American Standard of 1901 will do, but get you a good old King James Bible, and you'll be just fine. You won't have to worry about some of this junk and manipulation and things such as that, but it is important that you gather some of that material. So get you a good translation. By the way, let me just remind you at this time that I think this would be a good time for me to mention the fact that you can call in at 405-428-2440. Every day, we have a live radio program on different topics. Today is on preparing our mental and spiritual and practical aspects to study. We're talking about exposing scripture twisting. And so, come and join us each day from 11:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. on Reflections Upon the Precious Book Divine, as the good brethren in Mount Vernon, Texas, allow us this opportunity to broadcast upon their gospel radio network. And you can put a .org at the end of that, and you can get to their internet site. You can go to TuneIn Radio, and you can listen to us there if you happen to be on the road. But we're glad that you've joined us today. And I want to remind you that this program is brought to you by the Ninth and Main Church of Christ at 901 North Main Street in San Angelo, Texas. And so come by and join us. Be our guest as we worship and study God's Word together. So back to the mental preparation. The good Bible translation is an important thing in regards to that. In fact, I would get you, it's hard. You can buy them out there, but they are rather expensive, and that is the Dixon Analytical Bible. It is a good, solid Bible study, but at the same time, they're very hard to get. Good Bible studies are just far and few between. Number one, because everybody wants to specialize in this, and they call them Bible studies, but they're really not good, solid Bibles at all. But they want to specialize in this. You got to have 15 Bibles. For example, if you're talking to a group of women in a ladies' Bible class, you got to have a ladies' study Bible. And if you're talking to men about leadership principles, you got to have a leadership principle study Bible. If you're talking to a group of college students about apologetics, you got to have an apologetics study Bible. I mean, we're getting kind of ridiculous with all of these specified. You got to have 20 to 30 specialized study Bibles just to have what you need. Well, why not just get you? I tell you what, just get you an old fashioned Bible that has a concordance and a Bible dictionary in the back, and you'll be doing just fine. You know, and then you can have a couple of other books in your library that may help you out. For example, and a lot of your apps on your phone and iPads and computers will have Vine's Expository Dictionary on it. You need a dictionary. A Bible dictionary is good. Thayer's Lexicon is oftentimes included in there. You can get encyclopedias. on there, the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia, as well as others, are available for your personal, you know, in other words, get you the tools, surround yourself with tools, whether they are on the internet or they are in book forms in your library. Get you the tools that are going to be necessary to carry this out. Now, by the way, if you're going to have a good study on hermeneutics, I'm going to suggest two good books for your library. Brother D.R. Dunnigan authored a book years ago on hermeneutics. It is entitled Hermeneutics, and you can still get it. It is in print, and it is an excellent volume on the study of hermeneutics. Clinton Lockhart has a good book on the principles of interpretation. Those are two good study books. Any book dealing with I'm trying to remember, there's one called When is an Example Binding, that is an excellent book about reasoning, about things such as that, that we should keep in mind. These are all things that we need in our own personal library so that we might study the Bible more accurately. Now, I do need to move on just a little bit. We've dealt quite a long time on the mental preparation. But really, listen, let's just put down number four is this. Just do it, right? I know that's a modern a staple, but listen, isn't that right? Just do it. Quit saying, well, I'll do it when, I'll do it if. Just do it. The more proficient we come with the practice of studying our Bibles, the better off we will be. So the mental preparation, it's time. I prepared myself. Now get to the job. Now the spiritual preparation. In this area, we'll talk about this over several different radio broadcasts, the different specifics here, and so I probably won't spend a lot of time with reference to this, but it is so important. Ezra prepared in his heart to search and to know and to search and to do and to teach God's book, Ezra 7 in verse number 10, the parable of the soil. What soil was ready to receive the word of God? The one that was prepared for it. Let me suggest unto you a couple of items that you really need proper preparation on. Number one, have a deep reverence for God. Proverbs 1:7 and 2:5 and many other verses in the book of Proverbs as well as throughout the Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Have a deep reverence for God is a spiritual preparation. Number two, accept the Bible as the Word of God, 1 Thessalonians 2:13. That aided them in their study in Thessalonica in the fact that they received it as it was in truth, the Word of God. And there are so many different passages. It is an inspired letter, and so it should be received thus. It can be understood. We've already dealt with that. The revelation of God is an important aspect. So reverence God, receive His Word as it is given, the Word of God. And number three, strive to be a seeker after truth. John chapter 8 and verse number 32, right? Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. How are you going to know it if you don't search it, if you're not diligent in your efforts in handling it correctly? Now, that means that we have to watch out for prejudice, right? We have to watch out for being filled with self-will, 2 Timothy 4, verses 3 and 4. We have to watch out for being affected by a desire to be popular. We have to watch out for a desire to want to be known. I want people to know me as a scholar. I want people to know me as clever. I want people to know me. And so that ideal of fame it can be a very damaging process to our study. We have to study mainly. If you're just studying to prove a point, then you're probably not studying. Now, listen, there's nothing wrong with studying to prove a point. I want to emphasize that. But if that's all that you do, then maybe you need to back up on your research just a little bit. Number four, determine to live what you learn, right? And it's here that I want to talk about some practical aspects here. I want to give you some practical ways that you can handle the Word of God mentally, spiritually, and now practically. If you're going to handle the Word of God correctly, my friends, then it must be read. We're just talking about the reading of it. It must be read to be handled correctly. If you don't read the Word of God, listen, you can read a lot of books about God's Word. You can listen to a lot of sermons. You can listen to a lot of radio programs about the Word of God. But if you don't pick it up and read it for yourself, you will never handle it correctly. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 4, it says, "Whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ." First Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 13, Paul told Timothy to give heed unto reading. You see, this is something that is absolutely essential. We must read the Word of God in order to handle it correctly. Number two, let me suggest unto you, and we've already dealt with a few of these passages, Acts 17, verse number 11, they search the Scriptures, underline this word, daily. Not only must the Word of God be read, but in order for it to be handled correctly, this word demands daily reading. Now, listen, you may say, well, I've never read anything like that that would require. Are you telling me that if I don't read the Word of God daily that I'm in sin? Well, you just listen to what the Bible says, my friends. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor setteth in the seat of the scornful." By the way, is it a sin to walk in the counsel of the ungodly, to stand in the way of sinners, and to set in the seat of the scornful? You better believe it is. But notice the contrariness to this. "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate," notice this, "day and night." You tell me what the Bible says concerning our daily consumption of God's Word. It must be done daily to be handled properly. That's a part of the problem that we have today, and is that we're not daily into the Word of God. We're daily consuming our meals. We're daily drinking our 8 ounces, our six, eight ounce jugs of water. We're daily taking our medication and our vitamins. We're daily sending our kids to school. We're daily doing this, and we're daily getting our naps. We're daily getting our rest at night. We're daily going to work. But are we daily taking care of our responsibilities to handle God's Word correctly? Number three, we must read it distinctly. I love the way that Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse number 8 draws this out, that Ezra was reading in the law of the Lord distinctly. That's what Mondays are all about and the scheme of redemption. We are reading the Word systematically. We are reading the Word distinctly. We are showing the sense of those things. We're showing them how the Word of God unfolds itself. We are reading distinctly and handling it correctly. Number four, it must be heard when read to be handled correctly. If we do not hear the Word of God, then we cannot believe the Word of God. Romans 10 and verse number 17. Number five, it must be applied with self-discipline. We're going to save this for another time as far as the particulars of it. I have a wonderful book in my library on discipline, and it lays down about 11 to 13. I can't remember exactly how many items. I have 11 of them written down. We'll never get through those 11 in the time that we have remaining. But what I wanted to emphasize here to you is just some of the some of the items that he talks about as far as self-discipline is concerned. But the Bible must be applied with self-discipline. You can't read it. You're not going to read it daily and distinctly. You're not going to apply it unless you exercise self-discipline in regards to that. And so, by the way, keep in mind that there are no shortcuts. There are no shortcuts to holiness. There are no shortcuts to Bible study. There are no shortcuts to discipline. There are no shortcuts to the important things in life. Number two, you've got to have a plan and you've got to work that plan. Number three, you've got to have a time and a place. You're talking about the physical aspect of it? Have you a place and a time? Like a lot of people have time for breakfast, a time for supper, time for dinner, you know, time for the events. They schedule some things and schedule your Bible study. I realize that there are times when there are emergencies that take away from our study time. But put together you a schedule for study. Have a time and a place. Cultivate punctuality in your Bible study. Don't be late. It's okay to be early, but just don't be late. Be there daily. Punctual with regards to your Bible study. Learn to respect time tags as well. Listen, if you're going to study all of the Word of God, you may have to put, like we do, we got Monday, we've got the scheme of redemption. Tuesday, we're exposing scripture twisting. Wednesday, we're talking about the beautiful names, titles, and descriptions of deity. And by the way, I have a time tag on here. I have an hour to deal each day with these particular subjects. Thursday, what America really needs, and Friday, open mic Friday. But guess what? I have the time that I have, and I have to respect those time tags. Now, those are some of the things that are very important for us to remember. Now, possibly the biggest cause of error, the biggest cause of division, abuse, painful conflict in the church is the unwillingness of Christians to learn for themselves what God's Word says and then apply it to their lives. I guarantee you that there could be 100 false doctrines, 1,000 abuses, and 1,000,000 pain that has been afflicted upon brethren by their fellow Christians if they'd just learned to study the Bible for themselves. Well, we've come to that point in our program talking about respecting time tags that we're going to once again reflect upon the precious book Divine through the eyes of Brother Brownlow in Living with the Psalms. This is August the 5th, and I tell you what, I have read this a couple of times already this morning, and I'm just thrilled with what Brother Brownlow has focused my attention upon. From Psalm 82, verse 6 and 7, the psalmist writes and he says, I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. But ye shall die like men, and fall like one of the princes. Now the title to this section is, Rulers Must Die Too. Brother Brownlow goes on and he says, rulers were called gods because of their role in humanity's affairs. But beneath those royal robes is the mortality as fragile as the obscure peasant. The king is subject to heart failure, stroke, ruptured appendix, malignancy, and all other ills, plus creeping old age, like the masses of mankind. Renown will not ease the pain of disease, nor stop it from taking its toll. The pale horse with its rider called death is galloping not far from him as well as from us. There is a quotation from Shakespeare which says, seeing that death, a necessary end, will come when it will come. And then Brother Brownlow continues, I was more deeply impressed with man's frailty and superficial values when I visited the old farm home of Andrew Jackson. After going through the dwelling place of the heroic president, popularized by his Stonewall courage, I went into the family burial ground, and there I stood and meditated at the grave of a man who held the highest office in the land. Then I walked over to the grave of his trusted slave. There I searched my soul as I pondered the state of man. And I thought, it doesn't make much difference when the end comes whether you are a president or slave, for both must die and sleep in the same dust. Even those who rule will die. Did not Herod have to learn that problem in the book of Acts when he received praise as of God? And the Bible says that the worms did consume his body. My friends, I love Brother Brownlow's daily devotionals. I love the time that we get to spend together in talking about what I consider some of the most important things upon the face of the earth. No, not just upon the face of the earth. These are the most important things in regards to eternity. That we would learn to study our Bible correctly is of great value, my friends. And so we could cure a lot of error, a lot of division, a lot of abuses, and a lot of painful conflict in the New Testament church if we were just willing to put our effort into diligently studying the Word of God. Thank you for joining us today. We're pleased that you were with us today on Reflections Upon the Precious Book Divine. Now it has come time for me to return it to the studios in Mount Vernon and Ryan Smithy. Thank you for listening, and God bless.